The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. The hard saying that offends Jesus' disciples is his claim that his followers must eat his flesh and drink his blood. The followers who return to their old lives know something about how odd this sounds. Simon Peter, on the other hand, knows something about the scarcity of living gracious words. He asks the most important question, to whom shall we go? I begin reading at verse 56. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe, and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, 'For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father.' Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, 'Do you also wish to go away?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God.'" The Gospel of the Lord. May be seated, and I ask that the children come forward for the children's sermon. Good morning. I brought a couple of books with me. Does anybody know what this is? What is that? What book is that? You ever seen one of these? It's a dictionary. Do y'all use these at school? No, not yet? Or do y'all have one at home? Do y'all have a dictionary at home? Okay. Some of y'all still have dictionaries at home. They're getting to be obsolete. That means that they're not being used very much anymore because just about all the computers now have a dictionary on the computer. So we don't use the book for them too often. But dictionaries are kind of neat because in this book is every word in the English language. Every word that you use to talk is in this book. And if you look at it, if you open it up and look at it, see all the words in the black print? All the black print there, those are the words that you look up. Okay? But what's neat about this is that if you look up a word, it will tell you the meaning of the word. It will also tell you where that word came from. Maybe it came from the Latin language, or maybe it came from the Greek language, or maybe from a German language. It tells you about that. And then it gives you, it also tells you how to spell the word so that you spell it correctly. It tells you about the meaning. Sometimes words have more than one meaning, so sometimes there's a number of different meanings. Okay, so for instance, maybe we look up a word, how about kindness? Okay, and it's spelled K-I-N-D-N-E-S-S. All right, and the meaning is the state, the quality, or habit of being kind. Okay, and it has another meaning. A kind act or treatment, or another meaning, a kind feeling, affection, or goodwill. Okay, so all the words that we use have a lot of different meanings. But do you know where we actually find the most important words? Where do you think we find the most important words? In the Bible, very good. And that's the other book that I bought. brought with me. This is the Bible. And I suppose y'all seen one of these before. Have y'all seen a Bible before? Okay. And in our Bible reading today, we already read out of the Bible. Peter says to Jesus, "You have the words of eternal life." Okay. Jesus has the most important words because his words actually give us life. God created the world. He brought life into the world. He breathed his life into us. But Jesus gives us new life. He gives us new life through his words and through what he did for us as he went to the cross and the resurrection. So this book contains all the words that we need to talk and visit with each other, but this book contains the most important words for our lives. Okay, let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ who has come into our lives to bring us new life. Feed us with this bread of life. Amen. Okay, y'all go sit down. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Old Testament, we read about the covenant that God first made with Abraham, that God would promise to Abraham that he would make him the father of many nations, and that those nations are the nation of Israel would be his chosen nation, that God would be their God and the people will be God's people. In our Old Testament lesson for today, that covenant is renewed. The surrounding area around this Old Testament lesson is that Joshua and the Israelite army has been marched across the wilderness, and they have come to the promised land, and they have conquered most of the land. There's still some areas that needed to be cleaned up or mopped up, but the major campaign is over. And Joshua's life is just about over. And the different tribes of Israel are supposed to go off now into their new inheritance and finish cleaning up so that they can settle into the land. And at this point, they make that covenant, or they renew that covenant once again with God, basically saying, God will be our God and we shall be his people. But in the process of that, they remember all the things that God has done for them in this campaign, of how he brought them out of Egypt, how he destroyed the Egyptian army in the Red Sea, how he brought them across dry land through the sea, of bringing them through the wilderness. When they were hungry, he fed them, he sent food. When they were thirsty, God sent water. As they came into the new land, God went before them and eradicated their enemies so that they could live in their land peacefully. And they promise here then that they would give up all the old gods, either the gods they brought out of Egypt or the gods of this new land, and they would worship God only. The idea of covenant is actually a picture of grace, because God continues to bless these people even though they continually to turn against him. And you remember some of the stories in the as they wandered through the wilderness of when Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. They built a golden calf and worshiped it. They turned away from God. Or at other times they were complaining, "I'm hungry. We remember all the food that we had back in Egypt." They forgot. They forgot to give trust into God, forgot to give God faith that God would provide for them. Or they would complain, "I'm thirsty." Many different complaints. Or they'd complain about the snakes. Whatever. They were complaining, but God still continued to bless them, and God blessed them because of his grace. They didn't deserve it, but God continued to give to them. And that's what God does for us. He continues to bless us. As we read our gospel lesson today, once again, it's talking about the bread of life, that Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." The connotations today very much play into our Holy Communion, that we eat his body and drink his blood. And in that he says, "This is a new covenant for you." It is a gift of grace, a free gift given just because. Now, one of the ways of thinking about grace is thinking about it in this way. During the middle of the night, somebody backs up into your front lawn with a huge dump truck. And they dump the contents of that truck right in the middle of your front yard. And when you go out in the morning, you notice what the contents of that truck was. It's a load of treasure. You got diamonds and rubies and sapphires and gold earrings, gold necklaces, bracelets, bricks of gold. You've got bundles of $100 bills, fine clothing, whatever you think of as treasure, that is what's dumped right there in the middle of your front yard. Okay. That's what happened overnight. You didn't ask for it. It was a complete surprise. It's not that you won something or anything else. It was just simply dumped in your front yard. So, what do you do about it? There's a number of different options of what you can do about that load of treasure that is dumped in your front yard. One thing you can do is you can go out there and you can become angry. You see the ruts from that dump truck that they made in your front yard. And they see that pile of, and see that pile of stuff out there, and you look at it and say, who dumped this garbage in my front yard? I didn't ask for it. And you can look at it as garbage, and you can start hauling it away and throwing it into a landfill. That's one option. Another option is to look at it and say, or basically just ignore it. Just pretend it's not there. Pretend that whole lump is not there, that lump of treasure is not there. What's going to happen to it? Eventually, it's going to dwindle. It's going to decay. Weeds will grow up around it. People may walk by and see that it is good and worth something, and they may pick pieces out. Somebody may come along and take a good chunk of it out. Birds and squirrels may see it and take pieces of it and build their nests with it. The paper money will rot. Fine clothing will deteriorate, be ruined. The metals may tarnish. It'll eventually just go away. Okay? You can ignore it. That's another option. Another option is actually to use it, to use the benefits out of that, to collect the money out of it, to decorate your house with the jewels, to wear the jewelry on yourself, to sell some of the good stuff, to wear the fine clothing, to spend the money to buy whatever you want and everything you want. You can use it. You can use the benefits out of that treasure. Or one more option is that you can use the benefits or some of the benefits out of that, but also share some of that treasure with other folks. To pass it around, to spread it around so that other people can enjoy the benefits of that treasure. We can think of grace like that. Of God just dumping His grace upon our front yards, and what do we do with it then? As we look at our gospel lesson this morning, we can see how that grace was used when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will live eternally." Now, for some folks, this was too much to handle. Again, this story goes back, or it's a part of that larger story that we've been reading for the last 4 or 5 weeks of when Jesus fed the 5,000 people. The people were amazed. There was food left over. Their bellies were full, and they were ready to follow Jesus. On the next day then, Jesus has this whole conversation with the folks around him once they find him. And this is getting close to the end of that conversation where he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will live eternally." Now for some, that was too much to handle. Those words were too hard for them to understand. As long as their bellies were full, they were happy. But as soon as Jesus starts talking about this other stuff, he said, "We don't want anything to do with that." It's like taking that treasure in your front yard and say, "This is garbage. We're going to throw it away." And that's exactly what they did. They walked away from Jesus. But then there's the disciples, his inner circle of disciples, those 12. And Jesus asked them, "Are you too going to go away?" And then it's Peter. Peter, that bold Peter who bounces up and he says, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. They were willing to stay, to listen, to enjoy the benefits of what Jesus had to offer in his grace. And not only that, they were later on then, they were willing to go out and share those gifts with the rest of the world. And so that comes down to the question then too, what do we do with that load of treasure that God has dumped in our yards? And certainly, God has dumped treasure in our yards. If you stop and think about it, he's done it for every single person in this world. There is no option. God just simply comes and he dumps the treasure in your yard. Or as Martin Luther puts it in explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed, he provides us with food and clothing, home and family, daily work, and all that I need from day to day. And not only that, he guards and protects me in times of evil. God gives us so much. He gives us everything that we need here in life. And not only that, he gives us more than that. He gives us more than what we need in life. We have an abundance. We have a whole load of treasure. We have more than what we need. And not only that, as we read this gospel lesson, we don't only have what we have here in this life today. We have the promise of eternal life, a feast which never ends. We have that promise for God. So God dumps that whole treasure of his grace right there in our front yards. What do we do with it? Sadly, in our world today, many people see it simply as garbage. They're angry that there's ruts in their front yard, that somebody dares to even talk about Christianity, or or that God would be responsible for this. Many of those in our world today say there is no God. They simply ignore it. There is no God, is what they say. And we call those people atheists. But sadly, many of the people in the world today, particularly here in the United States, are agnostic, what I would call agnostic. Agnostic people say, well, there's maybe a God. Yeah, there's probably a God up there somewhere. Maybe there's not, but it doesn't bother me. It doesn't concern me. I've got my own life. I've made my own life. I'm happy in my own life. Why should I even worry about God? Why should I even be concerned about God? Why should I give any worship? Why should I believe anything? It doesn't matter. God's insignificant. Sadly, many people just simply reject God. They walk away from it. They don't see it as a treasure. They see it as garbage. They see God's grace as garbage, and they just simply throw it away. For many people, too, well, let me go back to that just a minute. We were visiting with some friends just recently, and they had just come back from a trip from France. Their daughter was working at a Christian camp in France. In France, the population there is there's very few Christians, and so they hold this camp so that kids and young young adults can be around other Christians, because they're not around other Christians at home or at school or other places. So this is about the only place that they can come together and see that there are actually other Christians around. Because one of the statistics my friend was telling me was that in France, the Christian population is only 4%. 4% of the population in France is Christian. The Muslim population is growing, and there are basically just many agnostics, people who don't care whether there's a God or not. What's scary about that is that the United States tends to follow Europe in these matters of faith. We're probably at today where France or where the rest of Europe was about 20 or 30 years ago. We're moving away from being a Christian nation. And if you stop and think about it, very few people come to worship on a weekend, not only here, but all across the United States. People may claim to be a Lutheran or Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian Catholic, but they're not in worship. They just kind of drifting away. And the younger generations are not learning about Christianity. We're ignoring that treasure that God has dumped in our front yards. And what's scary about what my friend was saying was that that we are probably moving in that same direction here in the United States, where only 4% of the population is actually Christian. The other thing that surprised me in that conversation then too, is the wife of my friend, as they came off the airport and was greeted by their daughter, the wife had on fairly large earrings that were crosses, gold crosses in her ears. And her daughter says, "Oh, Mom, those are awfully big earrings. You're not going to be able to wear those here." I don't know if it's a law or just an agreement throughout the nation that you do not show your religion in public. Religion is only to be seen inside your places of worship. So Christians are not supposed to wear jewelry or signs of their Christianity. Muslims are not supposed to be wearing the veil or signs of theirs. It goes even beyond political correctness at this point. Are we moving towards that too here in the United States? It's scary of where we're going. People simply just ignore the Christianity. So what do we do with that treasure that has been dumped in our laps or dumped into our front yards? What do we do with that grace? We can simply enjoy it. And that's what God's benefits are. They are for us. Jesus says, "Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have eternal life." He invites us to enjoy that treasure that he has dumped into our front yards. To pick it up, to use it, to wear it boldly, to proclaim what we have in Christ Jesus. But not only just for ourselves, Christianity, coming to worship, coming to church, reading the Bible, doing devotions is not just for ourselves, but it is so that we can share that grace with others, so that we can point out to other people that God has dumped a load of treasure in their front yard too, and it's available for them. Or we can share our own treasure with them. The amazing thing about sharing God's grace is that it never diminishes. We actually gain more. As we share that gift of God's love, as we share the gift of forgiveness, we actually benefit from that as well too. God's treasure never does diminish. Our front yard is always deep, full of treasure. God has blessed each of us richly in many different ways, not only for this life, but he gives the words of eternal life. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will live forever." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.